I want to make an announcement. 2 weeks from last night, on September the 26th, we will have our annual Southern Gospel Songfest here in the sanctuary. Now, if you haven't been here, shame on you. But it's a wonderful time. We'll have this platform just full of singers, and for an hour and a half or so, we're going to sing Southern Gospel music with this choir. Ernie Owens is flying in from Texas to play for us, and we're going to have a wonderful time singing his praise. So let me invite you to be here. Be here early so you can get a seat. It's just a great, great time. If you look in your bulletin there, the title of this message is Get Out of Here. Now, when I wrote this down, and Jeff Rose, who's back here, he puts everything out front. He said, you know, we're doing this study called To Stay, and we're trying to get everybody to stay here, and now you're going to preach a message, get out of here. Well, when I start my scripture, you're going to know what I mean. So we are in the last chapter of Matthew, and we're looking at the Great Commission. First word is go. Get out of here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. The end of the age is forever. To the end. Well, I'm going to talk about the Great Commission. And I know if you were reading the Great Commission and you had to make a list of some of the things that were important or had spoke to you, you may have different things than I have here because it speaks in so many ways. There's people in our world today will tell you that the Great Commission is not relative anymore. It's not relevant. There's people that says it never has been. But I'm going to tell you, it's as relevant right now as it has ever been in our history. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I don't know where your nation is. Our church's nation, obviously, is Bel Air and beyond. Yours may be with your family members, which is the hardest place to reach sometimes. It may be at work. It may be with your neighbor. But what he said was, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in his name for his glory. Well, I made a list of some of the things, some of the reasons I think you should go. Number one, and if we don't have any other reason at all, it's because God told us to. He just told us in that verse that we needed to go. You know, discipleship is a very important thing. And he was talking to his disciples, and he had spent all of this time with his disciples getting them ready to go. And I'm going to tell you, before we go, we need to spend time with him. Then we need to go beyond this walls. I'm not running you off from church. You know that. I want you back here. But in the meantime, we need to go. And I know that beyond these walls may not be in your comfort zone. It may not be in your comfort zone at all. But I want to tell you something. When he told these disciples to go, it wasn't in their comfort zone either. Because, see, they had this Jewish-Gentile thing going on back there. And it was not comfortable for them to do, as Paul told them later, I'm an ambassador, I'm a preacher to the Gentiles. This was not comfortable for them. But they were out of their comfort zone. But you see, they had to go because he is the answer. You are, and you're going to hear a choir piece. We're going to come out here and sing for you next week in this service. We sang this morning, People of the Good News. You are people of the good news. Now, what is the good news? Jesus was born. He died. He rose again. He ascended to heaven, and he's waiting on his children there. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he had the answer, the good news, people of the good news. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but would have eternal life. That's the good news. And we are people of the good news. And we need to get out of here and tell people. Well, another reason I think we should go is because I believe that people are waiting to hear. I just believe they're waiting to hear. Now, I'm from down south, if you can't tell this. And they were talking about Alicia and Andrew are going and sharing English as a second language. In Tennessee, we're still working on it as a first language. But down where I came from, if you went and knocked on a door, they'd invite you in. And then they would ask you why you were there. Now, I know it's not always like that around here, and I know that's hard to do, but I believe this. I believe that there is a whole world waiting for the good news. And we are people of the good news, and time's a wasting. And I found out when I was very young in the ministry how time could waste on us quickly. I had a friend say to me one day, would you go with me to visit a friend of mine? This was in Rising Sun, the early 70s. Just found out he had cancer. He had some treatment. He's home, and he's not a Christian. And I said, I'll be glad to go. We went there on a Sunday night, and he was in a hospital bed, and his house was just packed full of people. I mean, there was family, and they welcomed us in, and we sat and we chatted and had a wonderful time. And I didn't want to embarrass him in front of all these people that were there. So I said to him, could I come back later on in the week, Wednesday or Thursday, and just talk with you and share some things with you? And he said, certainly. Welcome anytime. Here was a problem. He did not have a Wednesday or Thursday. You see, time's wasting. And he went on into eternity without me ever sharing the gospel with him. I learned the hard way. People are waiting to hear. Another reason we should go is some have never heard. Now, that may be hard to believe here, that America is a mission field. This Christian country, America, is a mission field. Did you know that the Koreans just a few years ago in South Korea, they talked about sending missionaries to America to evangelize America? And you would think in this day of Facebook and satellites and all these media products that I know nothing about, you would think that through them, everyone has heard. But no. Some have never heard. I got a phone call at Oak Grove Baptist Church in 1999. I remember the year because the millennium was coming up. And the secretary said, there's a man on the phone. He wants to talk to a minister. And I was the only one there at the time. Everybody else was out somewhere. And I was, to this day, I've been so grateful that I was the only one there, because I got to talk to a man named George. And he started telling me about his situation in life. Now, he was a very successful businessman. He had sold two businesses and made them very successful, and he sold the businesses. But his wife had died, and he had started keeping time with a lady, and got very serious about her. Some of you here know what that is. And then he got down to talking about marriage, and she said to him, I would never marry you because you are not a Christian. And he said, what do you mean I'm not a Christian? You see, his total experience had been baby dedications, possibly Easter every now and again, and Christmas. American, World War II vet, grown up here. And he said, she said I was not a Christian. Can you believe that? And I said, yes, I can. And I said, I want to come over and talk to you. So I went into his house. And this old man, same age I am now, by the way, I sat there and I shared with him what I shared with you a minute ago, that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We only get to heaven with a personal relationship with the Lord. And I presented the gospel to him, and he prayed the sinner's prayer, accepted the Lord. And after he accepted the Lord, he snapped at me. And I'll never forget this because it was an indictment on the Christian faith. This 71-year-old man looked at me and said, why didn't someone tell me? People of the good news, we're supposed to tell them. I told him, but he should have heard about it 60 years before that. And by the way, that woman did marry him because I did their wedding. And when it changed to the year 2000, I was standing in the baptistry at midnight with him, and I baptized him. He's still alive today, living in Florida. But you see, some have never heard. And I think we need to share the good news. We need to go because the good news changes lives. You know, we're in a land of self-help. I wouldn't even know there was something wrong with me if I didn't watch television. You know, you can get a tummy tuck, a facelift. You can look taller. You can look thinner. You can get rid of wrinkles. And you can grow thicker hair, which is something that I am interested in. But all of these things out there, but you know, it took me years to get the way I am. And all of a sudden, they're telling me that they can change me. But it's going to cost me something. But you see, the good news changes lives, and it cost him something. It cost God his son. I have a good friend. He's an African-American man, pastors of church. And he told me as a young boy growing up, he hated white people. He had some bad experiences with whites. He said, I hated them. And one day, a white man saved his life. Literally, physically saved his life. Stood up for him and stood with him. Later on, someone told him about the Lord, and it changed his life. You see, we can pass all the laws that we want to, but those laws aren't going to change our lives. They may change about how things goes around about us here, but they are not going to change our life. Only God can change our hearts, which changes our lives. And this man told me at this church he pastors, when they called him, it's 65% white. He said the Lord had a great sense of humor with me. Because you see, his love's for everyone. Because God changed his life. Well, we should go because we need new disciples. We need to make disciples. I believe that as Christians, we should be mentoring someone at all times. I believe we should be mentoring. Mike Nerney's a great mentor. He's always mentoring someone. We lost Jim Reedy this year. Jim Reedy was a great mentor. He had no idea he was a great mentor because he just did what he did. And he had a profound influence on men's lives, on women's lives, because he was making disciples. He knew that he was nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And he wanted to share that. I'm not talking about cloning, folks. I don't want somebody just like me or like you. We need to make them just like him. People of the good news. And I believe that we should go because I believe that there is a heaven and a hell waiting out there. I believe they're out there. We don't hear a lot about it anymore, but they're there. And I'm going to tell you exactly where heaven is. It's where Jesus is. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am there, you may be also. So wherever heaven is located here, he's there. That makes it heaven because he's there. I'm going to tell you where hell is. It's where he is not. So the sun's not there. There's no sun shining. There is a heaven and a hell out there waiting. And we need to carry this message of the good news because we are people of the good news. My wife likes to read to me, and I don't like to be read to. So the only time she can do that is when we're traveling and we're in a car. And I used to have a way of kind of getting out of it, but she finally caught me. I would just turn her off there, you know. Never heard what she said. And then she would say, isn't that wonderful? And I said, it is. Could you read that last little bit again? And she finally caught on to that and quit doing it. But we were traveling years ago, and she read a book to me. And this book caught my attention, and I lived right with her through this book. And that book is called The Gospel Blimp. Anybody ever read The Gospel Blimp? Well, there was two people in the early service, and Mike and I were talking. It's come up twice in recent conversation. Well, let me tell you about The Gospel Blimp. Here's how it began. A man was concerned about his neighbor, so he invited his neighbor to church. Man wouldn't come. He was concerned. He invited him to church. Everything that would happen, he invited the man to church to try to change his life. And he finally shared that with people at his church. I've got a neighbor. I've been inviting him to church for years. He won't come. So they put their heads together and they began to think, there's got to be a way that we can get people like him in church. So someone came up with this preposterous idea of buying a blimp. They knew where there was one for sale. And they bought a blimp and named it the Gospel Blimp. And they were so excited about that blimp. But they realized that you can't fly a blimp just like a car. So they had to hire a captain in a uniform with a hat and a crew for the blimp. They also realized there was donations coming in. There was money coming in to pay for this blimp and to pay for its ministry. So they had to create an executive board to take care of it. And that's a problem anytime you start it. But there they were with their team and their captain and the blimp. Now, how do you get the message to people? Well, they bought a speaker system with loudspeakers, and they would sail around in their little town, and they would broadcast. And they came to the idea that if you went real early in the morning, that people wouldn't be gone to work yet. If you went late at night, they'd be home. So what they did was wake people up and put them to sleep at night with the gospel blimp. They got to thinking about that. Maybe we're not getting the message across, so they decided another way to do it. They started dropping folders, leaflets, all over town. They just filled them up with leaflets from the gospel blimp. And so this man who had been concerned about his neighbor started to look at the blimp in a different way when he saw his neighbor raking his yard one morning with nothing but papers out there. Go to church, attend church, the gospel blimp. He was raking up the gospel blimp. He also saw some discrepancies in their work. You see, they were so busy with the blimp on Sunday that they didn't have time to go to church themselves. Well, the captain was never home, so his wife and family left him. So he got out of the gospel blimp business. He resigned his seat on the board. They wished him well, and they were sorry to lose him. But he went away. About a year later, they ran into him. The people of the blimp ran into him. Oh, they were so excited to see him, and they wanted to know how he was doing. And he said, doing fine. They said, "We're sorry we couldn't reach your neighbor." He said, "My neighbor's a Christian man." And they were just amazed. We dropped leaflets all over his house. We covered his roof. We broadcast. "How did you win him to the Lord?" He said, "I took him fishing." Get out of here. We've got to get out of here, people of the good news. Get outside these walls. Go fishing. Go to lunch. Carry the good news. I want to challenge you for this year. We just started a brand new church year last week. First Sunday of September, brand new church year. I'm going to challenge you to win one this year. Win one person. Not just to bring them into this church to double our attendance. I'm into numbers. I mean, I appreciate numbers. I would double my choir and stack them up back here if I could. I believe in numbers. But we're not doing this for numbers. We are doing this to increase the kingdom. People of the good news. We need to go. Here's what he said in Acts 1:8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Your Samaria, your Jerusalem's waiting on you out there. You have the answer. We need to get out of here and be about the Father's business, because time's a waste. Father, we thank you that we do have good news to carry. Father, we ask you to make us bold, give us compassion, and let us be about your business. And Father, there may be someone here today that has never accepted you. They don't even know what the good news is. They've never experienced it. We want you to touch their hearts this morning that they can step forward and do that. Father, there may be folks here that need to join this church. There may be people here that need to commit their lives newly. We just ask you to touch them and touch us. And Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of serving you here in this place. Now let us carry your name to this community. And we ask this in your strong, strong name. Amen. We want you to stand together. And this invitation is for you. If God has spoken to you in any way, you respond. Let's stand together.